I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 173 are Al Jardine.
Hi, Aaron.
Ryan Treichler.
Hi, everybody.
And David Nicely.
Hi, everybody.
Now, tonight on the Diz Dad's podcast, we're going to be talking about those quick trips to Walt Disney World, kind of a weekend, basically, as we talked about it, anything that's less than 4 days at Walt Disney World, we'll call a quick trip. But before we get to that conversation, I want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. The next time you're considering a family vacation to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, on the Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, heck, even Disneyland Paris, give Fairytale Journeys a call. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, guys. So tonight we're talking about quick trips, and it's kind of hard. You know, I've done a couple of quick trips myself, but as somebody from the Midwest, it's a little tricky for me thinking about a quick trip to Walt Disney World. So what are some reasons that you might take a shorter trip like that to Walt Disney World? I don't know, David, you're a fellow Midwesterner.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those where maybe you have very limited vacation time and you have easy access to an airport. Or in my case, you just need a Disney fix and you know it's going to be a few years before you can get back for a longer extended period of time.
Okay, so one is just a matter of necessity sometimes. You know, you've only got a limited amount of vacation time. You take a quick trip to get your fix. How about you, Al? What's another way or reason?
Well, I mean, living in the Northeast, it's not an easy thing to get down to Florida for me either. But in my particular case, Star Wars weekends or special events tend to draw me down there for a quick visit.
Okay, so sometimes you've got a special reason to be there for a particular time. And how about you, Ryan? What's a reason you might take a quick trip?
We're a little bit more fortunate because we're in the Southeast, so it's only an 8-hour drive. So there are times where we can look, and since we have annual passes, it's easy to say, all right, we'll just head out early after school and go down for the weekend. And, you know, we may only get a day in the parks, but it's still fun.
Sure. Yeah, and you know, a couple of the reasons that I've done quick trip, somewhat similar to Al's situation, you know, something like a Diz Dad's convention, right, where a group of people are getting together, and I can't necessarily take, you know, a full week and take the kids out of school and do a big family trip, but I can get away for a long weekend and get to spend a few days at the park. You know, there's a specific reason I'm meeting some people there. And then I've also done, you know, a quick trip. It's, in some ways, you get in that kind of trap, right? You've paid for the annual pass, and it's been about 8 or 9 months, and you know that the pass is going to expire soon, and you think to yourself, well, you know, the flights aren't that expensive. We could get away for a weekend and get, you know, free park once, because we've already got our passes. And I think the annual pass sort of creates this magnet effect.
Yeah. One of the other things that we have happen is periodically I'll have work events in Florida. And so if there's another reason to be down there, you know, it's not, you know, you can always make an excuse to tack a day on to the end of a trip or at the beginning of a trip to go over to Orlando, particularly if you've got an annual pass, and it makes it really easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It makes a big difference. All right. So I guess what I really wanted to talk about was how you can really leverage trips like this and ways to take advantage of them. And then maybe first, the thing we could talk about is what makes these short trips different, or what things do you do differently when you take a quick short trip like this rather than a longer trip? I don't know. You know, Al, you said sometimes you'll go down for a special event like Star Wars weekend. Is there anything different about, you know, the way you take a trip like that as opposed to a longer vacation?
Well, in our case, first of all, I don't recommend a short trip for anybody who's going for their first time. You just feel so much pressure that you want to get everything done, and it turns into a guerrilla stay, and then you need a vacation from your vacation anyway. But for short trips, for special events, we kind of just prioritize what we're going to do. We know we're not going to do something that for us is not one of our favorites. We know that we're not going to spend time doing parades. We're there for the special event. We're there for the character meet and greets. And that's generally what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. For a veteran, somebody who, you know, has experienced most of Walt Disney World before, if you're coming for a special event, that's what you do. You focus your attention on that. David, though, you had a point that you wanted to make about, you know, maybe the people who are taking their first trip.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we took our trip, our first quick trip, it was with my in-laws, and they had never been before, so we didn't want to run them through the commando-style Disney trip, so we focused on what they would like.
I mean, I agree with David. Our first trip was a single-day trip, and, you know, we used that as an opportunity to expose the kids to Disney, particularly if you've got really young kids. A longer trip may not really be feasible. Our daughter was 18 months at the time, and so a short trip worked well for us for that experience, and I guess got us comfortable as parents that we were going to be able to do this with kids, and that it wasn't going to be something that was so incredibly overwhelming. With that though, we did constrain it down to just a single park. We didn't look at doing all four parks.
I was about to ask that, Ryan, and I think that that's the only way that I would ever recommend somebody going for their first time. Take a short trip. You can't, you know, if you get down to Walt Disney World and you want to do all four theme parks and the two water parks on a 3-day trip,
oh, no.
you're definitely setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that aspect of focus is something that, you know, whether you're there for a special event or whether you're there for anything, that's really something that really helps make a short trip good. You have to look at what are the things we really want to do, and let's focus on that. Because if you're only there for a finite amount of time, you're not going to be able to do everything. And so you need to really focus on what's going to be important for you.
Right. And I think I see it most often with, as you were saying, you know, families with really young kids, and they know that they're likely to just spend their park time at Magic Kingdom, right? They're only going to be in one park, and they just kind of want to introduce the whole concept because they're concerned about kids being overwhelmed, or they're concerned about, you know, it just not being – them not being ready for it yet.
Concerned about parents being overwhelmed in our case.
Oh, yeah. I was absolutely including the parents being overwhelmed with trying to tour, you know, in the parks with a small kid. Yeah. And – you know, for example, I've got, you know, a client who's going soon who's taking a 3-day trip and only spending 2 days in the parks. And the reason is because they've got a kid who's very ride shy. So they know that she's not going to be getting on many rides. But she loves the characters. And they're planning on just spending 2 days in the Magic Kingdom. And much of their time in the parks is going to be spent, you know, with character meet and greets and, you know, some of the sort of, you know, less impactful dark ride type experiences. But that's going to be a great first experience for them because that's what they're ready for.
And, yeah, I mean, no.
Well, and I was just saying, you know, if they tried to make it into a week-long trip and that's all they're really ready to do, they'd walk away from it saying, you know, that was incredibly expensive for what we got out of it.
Yeah. I mean, and if it, depending on how they're going, there's other things that they could do in Orlando. They could go out to the coast. They could do other things. It doesn't have to all be Disney. As much as that's where I want to spend my time, there are other things to do, particularly when your kids are young.
Well, and that's another good example of a reason you might take a short trip to Walt Disney World. You know, yeah. I mean, for one of the common ones is that you're there for a cruise, whether it's a Disney cruise or another cruise that sails out of Port Canaveral.
Yeah.
you know, spending a day or two at Walt Disney World, either on the way out or on the way back, is one of those, you know, as long as I'm in town, let's spend a couple days at Walt Disney World situations.
Well, I think the one thing that all of those successful scenarios have in common is a realistic sense of what you're going to accomplish in those days.
Yeah, yeah, that's an excellent point. David, let's come back around. We lost you there for a minute, but it looks like you're back. And we've just been talking a bit here about, you know, a family getting that first taste and really kind of focusing what they want this trip to be about to make it a positive first experience.
Yeah, I think kind of what you guys were saying, you know, you really need to focus what you're going to like. We had taken my in-laws for their very first trip to Walt Disney World. So we knew that, like, going to Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios really wasn't what they wanted. So we focused on Epcot for 2 days, and we just split the park in half to take some of the on the whole park for them. And we just planned it out where it was really nice and relaxing, and they could sort of really enjoy the Disney atmosphere.
Right. Yeah. And you know, that's, again, when you're taking a shorter, more focused trip, in some ways you can give yourself, it's maybe ironically, more time to absorb some of the atmosphere things because you're not trying to cram so much into it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the nice things about it as well is I think that you tend to really see it when you're showing someone new. You're seeing it through their eyes as well. So you don't really feel like you're being held back at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are there some ways other than just, you know, focusing on limiting your trip and finding ways to make it more manageable, are there some other things that you do differently on a quick trip versus a longer trip?
My wife was picking on me at dinner. We were talking about this a little bit. She's like, you have two types of short trips. We have the short trips where we're taking extended family or someone for a short trip to show them why we like Disney. And we're going to be there 2 or 3 days, and we pick out the things that they like. We're actually planning for a trip with my parents where we're going to do that. So we have that. It's kind of a more relaxed trip. And then it's the just my direct family where we can be kind of a little more in control. And that becomes a commando trip where we're there at rope drop. We're going to be there pretty much the whole day. And we have things kind of organized with military precision where we know we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, because we have all of our favorite things that we're trying to get in. It's, you know, we try and be realistic with it, but it's maybe not as relaxed as it could be.
Well, and I think, you know, the who's in your travel party really makes a huge difference, especially on a quick trip like this, because when you're doing a quick trip, if you've got younger kids, you really have to take it slow. Or if you're taking, you know, your parents or somebody who maybe has some mobility challenges, it's got to be focused and limited. On the other hand, you know, my friend Jay, who's been on the show a couple of times doing trip reports before, you know, he had a took a cruise, and his brother and his father and he, the three of them, took a cruise together. And they live in different cities, and they were meeting in Orlando. They had 1 day before the cruise, and Jay's younger brother, Craig, had been living in California, so he'd been to Disneyland but hadn't been to Disney World in over a decade. And so they just decided, since they had a day before the cruise, they did an absolute kamikaze trip for 1 day. Because it was just the two of them. There were no kids. So they hit 4 parks in 1 day and hit headliners in every park because, you know, Jay wanted to make sure that his brother got to see the things at Walt Disney World that were new and different in the, you know, 10 to 15 years since he'd been to Walt Disney World. And it's not, that's not something you could probably do if you had small kids along.
No. Well, I think it might cost me a spouse if I tried to do that with my family. Although I would love to do that.
In our case, for instance, when we're planning on going down for Star Wars weekend in about 2 months, and when we arrive after work on Friday, our battle plan now is we're going to be on the ground for 72 hours. Friday night, we really want to head over to the Magic Kingdom and try out the new Mine Train ride. Get that out of the way. Saturday, we know we're at Hollywood Studios for Star Wars weekend. And then Sunday, even though it's a Star Wars weekend day, we'll probably be in the park at Hollywood Studios for half of it and then head back to Magic Kingdom.
Right. So, again, you've focused your trip. And it sounds like you've got either annual passes or park hoppers.
Annual passes.
Okay. I used to think that park hoppers didn't make any sense on a short trip because you really didn't have time to move from park to park. But on the other hand, I'm starting to lean the other way on that a little bit because that flexibility becomes all the more important when it's a short trip.
I think my Disney experience may actually help with this because you can now start getting your fast passes at that second or third park in the afternoon. You go rope drop to one park, do headliners there before it starts to get crowded, and then jump to a different park. And then you can get fast passes for stuff that would already be gone if you were using traditional fast passes.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. David, you were talking about something, too, about accommodations on a short trip.
Yeah, I think, you know, depending on what you're going to do, you know, plan on where you're going to stay. If you're never going to be in the hotel, then it may not be worth staying at the Contemporary or the Polynesian. If you're only going to be at Magic Kingdom, it might be worth staying at the Contemporary. You can walk over. You can ride the monorail over if you want. But if you're not going to be enjoying the resort accommodations, then maybe find something a little bit less expensive and then focus more about eating in the parks and enjoying the food.
I think that's a good tip because, Aaron, we talked about this a little bit, that short trips give you the ability to be more flexible with your accommodations than what you could with a long trip, where you could choose a room that, you know, might not work ideally for your family for 5 days. You could get by in two double beds, you know, for a weekend. So you might be able to, you know, we've tried the Little Mermaid rooms at Art of Animation with our family of four. It wouldn't work on a long trip, but for two nights it works great. And on the other side, you know, if you don't really want to spend a lot of money usually, you know, maybe the short trip is when you try the Grand Floridian or try staying at the Contemporary so that you can walk over and, you know, have that great accommodation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in some ways on the short trip, to me, sometimes that's a great chance to splurge. You know, on a week-long trip, you know, six nights at the Polynesian or six nights at the Contemporary makes for an expensive trip. Two nights, it's still expensive, but maybe it's more doable in the overall scheme of things. And as David was saying, you take advantage of the fact that you're only there for a couple of days and you're going to be spending that time at the Magic Kingdom. Or if it's like Al's situation where you've only got a couple of days and you're going to spend half your time at Hollywood Studios, you know, maybe something like Boardwalk makes sense so that you can, you know, walk to the studios in the morning.
It's funny you say that because that's where we're staying. You know, I think David hit on something very important, though. One of the things that I know is a difference for us between a long trip and a short trip is in a longer trip, we're focused also on where we're going to eat. We're foodies. So we're willing to travel at the end of the day to go to a particular restaurant. While on a short trip, we're going to try to keep it in the park. We're going to try to go to Mama Melrose's or Tony's just so that we're not spending an hour getting to the restaurant and then an hour getting back to the park.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've found when I'm taking a short trip, I'm much more inclined to just eat counter service. Partially because, as you were saying, you know, not only do I not want to take the time to travel to the restaurant, but, you know, I can be perfectly happy eating a counter service meal in half an hour as opposed to the hour and a half it ends up taking to eat a table service meal, because that extra hour is much more valuable time-wise on a short trip than it would be on a longer trip.
I, th- I think the only exception to that would be if you could get in to something that's going to be a pre-rope drop breakfast somewhere. So it's not going to necessarily eat out of your park time to go do that table service if you do that.
Sure.
And actually potentially gives you more park time. So.
Yeah, and that's true. You can leverage these things both ways.
The short trip we took was during Food and Wine, so it was great. We didn't have to have a reservation.
If he dropped, I think he was just going to say all he did was eat at the Le Cellier booth and Food and Wine, because that's where I would have stayed the whole time. That or maybe the shrimp and lobster roll in America. Man, that stuff was good.
I was going to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, really, of you know, almost half the year these days now at Walt Disney World, right? If you're there in the spring, then you're at the Flower and Garden Show, which has almost become the Food and Garden Show,
yep.
Given the extra food booths and things that are out there. And similarly, in the fall with, you know, Food and Wine Festival, you've got all the food booths. And he's right. I mean, there are plenty of great opportunities to kind of graze on the fly.
Yeah, no reason to actually set up a table service and eat up into your time. Although Food and Wine now, if you're not there at the right time, getting into those booths can eat up a pretty substantial amount of time just walking around.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of these quick trips end up being weekend trips, and that's exactly when you're going to run into those kinds of crowds at the food booths at Food and Wine.
Yeah, I mean, we were there at the same time for kind of the pre-opening or pre-launch of Food and Wine, and that was great. But, you know, a couple days later, and it was really, really crowded.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why they're adding extra weeks to everything now.
That may be. I mean, they did. They've extended both Star Wars weekends and Food and Wine. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Flower and Garden end up getting extended as well next time around.
Yeah, the only thing I like, the only thing I can say about the Flower and Garden, though, is, and you guys might have more experience with it than I do, it seemed to me over the Food and Wine Expo that the Flower and Garden was a little bit more spread out because you had some features that were in Tomorrowland as well that tended to keep the crowd spread out.
That's true to some extent, and there are also fewer of the food booths. So I think that it doesn't attract quite as large of a locals crowd as Food and Wine does. And that's what really causes the backups and the congestion is you get this big group of locals, particularly on the weekends, that I don't think you get as much of at Food and Wine. Or I'm sorry, you don't get as much of at Flower and Garden.
That may change. I mean, I think historically Flower and Garden just – it hasn't had the boost, and so people haven't been drawn to it. But as they start adding more and more, it may become another Food and Wine in all aspects.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, I know that – I guess that's what Disney is shooting for here. You have to figure that if they're investing in, you know, putting more of those things out there, they're doing it because they you know, are hoping to boost the crowd.
They don't seem to have any issues getting people to turn up with anything. I mean, Food and Wine's doing really well. Flower and Garden's probably going to continue to do well. All the races are doing phenomenal. I mean, they're selling out. The last one sold out in 89 minutes or something.
Right.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. Although that's a good point. Actually, you know, we alluded to it a little bit talking about Diz Dad's convention, but that's another one of those, you know, good reasons for a quick trip are the various race weekends have become really popular times to take a quick weekend trip.
Yeah.
Well, Diz Dad's 3 is the same time as the half marathon, correct?
I mean, traditionally the Diz Dad's convention week is marathon weekend. And so we coordinate with that. It's kind of the origin was we had a bunch of people going to run anyway, so we figured, hey, that's a good time. People are already going to be there. And so it's worked well for us. But
outside of marathon weekend, you've got Princess, and then there's Tower of Terror, the Food and Wine, and Everest races. Those three races are all nighttime races, and they all have, I think, after-hour activities in the park. So if you're going down for a short trip that's just going to be for a weekend around a race, those offer a great experience. You know, so after Everest, there's a party in Animal Kingdom that goes till the wee hours of the morning where you can ride Everest and ride a couple of the rides in the dark, which is really neat, and get to experience the park where it's potentially slightly less crowded than it is during the day, and it gives you a lot more hours to do something. So so you can really extend things out.
But are those ticketed events that are special events?
So you can usually buy a ticket to get in, or you get a ticket if you purchase the race entrance. So if you wanted to go to the party, you could go to the party, or if you sign up to do the race, you automatically get the party ticket. I guess the other option would be the just straight hard ticketed parties like Not So Scary and Very Merry.
Well, see, that's my concern. Like, if anybody ever asked me about going down for a couple days, I'd be hesitant because, first of all, they're going to have to buy their park tickets, and do they have to add on just to stay there for that night?
Right. Well, with the race parties, it's a separate, unique event, and it's not as expensive as a not so scary or a Very Merry Christmas party. And you know what we've done in the past, and what I've suggested to people in the past is that in some ways, you know, if you're taking a short trip, what you can do is use that Very Merry Christmas party or that Not So Scary Halloween party as sort of a park hopper light, right? Because if you're only going to spend maybe 2 or 3 days in the parks, you can spend those 3 days, you know, for example, one way to get three parks in or four parks in 3 nights or 3 days is to do, you know, three of the parks. And then on that third park, you spend the last half of the day, you know, you hop over and use your party ticket for a Halloween party and do Magic Kingdom as part of the party.
Yeah, I could see how that worked out.
It would. I would just make sure that they're not doing the party on a Friday or Saturday. Do one of the early midweek parties where it's slightly less crowded.
Yeah, although, you know, I'm not even sure you can count on that anymore. There were some weird party dynamics this last year. And maybe it was just because the weather was so dicey and we had weird rain stuff going on and off. But there were times where the midweek parties were sold out. And the weekend parties were less crowded. It was really strange.
That is very strange. I wonder if there's groups that are doing that too, that are maybe buying up a bunch of the tickets for that's changing touring patterns.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what it was. You know, when we were there in September, the midweek party that we went to was sold out and was packed until it rained. But the party that would have been on the weekend was not sold out. We were already leaving before then, so we couldn't do it. But
touring plans has made everybody adjust their schedules. They're all going together at the wrong time.
Yeah, and David, you had a suggestion for people who, you know, could leverage those parties in a different way.
Yeah, if you're not planning on going to the party and you know that you're going to be down there around that time, especially if, let's say, the Not So Scary Halloween party, go the day after. Most of those people will still be sleeping early in the morning, so attendance will be way down. We have done that, and basically we were on 8 or 9 attractions within the first hour and a half of park opening.
Well, and that's one of the things we noticed even on race weekend, somewhat similarly. You know, there's being in Epcot, for example, right after the finish of a race. I mean, there's a little bit of a headache because the park is broken up as the race is finished, and you've got the weird kind of trying to cross the lines of runners. But aside from that, the lines and things for attractions are not long at all, because runners, you know, they want to walk around in the park, but a lot of them aren't so keen on hopping on rides after finishing a marathon or a half marathon.
Yeah, you don't have to use your Fast Pass Plus for Journey into Imagination or Nemo. You can just get right on those rides.
I don't think you need to use them anyway for those rides.
Small World would cure all that.
There you go. All right, so it sounds like, you know, the I guess ultimately what we're talking about here when we're going through all these things about, you know, taking short trips, it seems like you can really approach them in one of two extremes on almost every front. They're not so amenable to the kind of just, I don't want to make this sound drudgery, the consistent planned touring that you would do on a week long trip or so. You can do one of two things. You can either, focus yourself up front and limit your universe to a narrow list of things you're going to try and accomplish. And that's one good way to do a short trip. And the other way is to, kind of do the opposite direction and be a commando. And I think the same kind of dichotomy works when we're talking about accommodations and even dining as well. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think I agree with that. I think, but the important thing on both ends of the spectrum is that you have a realistic view of what your group can handle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think in a group that is built to go fast and have that commando attitude, I think a slow trip is going to drive them crazy. And I know for a fact from having to try to do it with my father's side of the family, we did a commando trip, and by the end of the first day, I think everybody really hated everybody else.
Sorry to hear that. But by the same token, this last trip, we tried really hard to slow down and take things a little more slowly. And one of the things that we learned is that we just don't relax very well at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. That there's a slogan for a new campaign.
I think relaxing kind of makes me tense, I think, while I'm there, because I feel like, man, we should be doing something. Why are we just walking so slowly down this way? Can't we can go fast. I can go get this. I've got this planned out. And so for me, yeah, there's a little bit in the back of my mind that stresses it, where I'm – if we're trying to take things slow, I get stressed out because I think of all the things that we're missing and that we're not going to get to do because we're going slow.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, I would have to agree, because you like to enjoy that maybe some other people don't know. And if you're going to pass them up and know you may not see them again, it's sort of kind of like one of those things that crawls into your skin.
Yeah, and it's not even that it's all e-ticket things. It's not like I'm running from space to Thunder Mountain to, well, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train when that opens, I'd like to just go sit on TTA, but I want the time to go do that. I don't want to miss out on our opportunity to do that because we've spent, too long staring at ducks or something.
Sure. And I think the same can be said of the as I was starting to say about, accommodations and dining. You can do it sort of at either extreme. And that makes good sense on a short trip. You can either take the approach that, we're a family of four. We can handle a value resort for, two nights. We'd kill each other in a value resort for seven nights. But for two nights, we're going to crash. We might be a little tired, but you know what? No big deal.
Yeah, and it gives you an opportunity to explore someplace new. And those things become important, too. If this is a short trip where you have maybe 3 days there and only one day's worth of park tickets because you've got half days on both ends, this is prime time to explore a resort, spend more time at Downtown Disney. That was what we always did growing up, was come in the night early, spend a bunch of time at Downtown Disney, and we'd have one park day. So.
Right. And then by the same token, you can do the other extreme, and you can, take advantage of maybe a splurge at Boardwalk or a splurge at Contemporary or Animal Kingdom Lodge, wherever it is that's right next to the park you want to focus on if you're taking this, focused trip. And yeah, it's more expensive, but you're staying a shorter amount of time. So overall, it kind of shakes out. And then finally, you can do really the same thing with dining. You can either eat on the fly, do the, you know, snacking around the world and take advantage of the improvements in counter service food and, you know, really kind of just eat your food on the fly in the parks. Or you can do the flip side too. And you can, because you're buying fewer meals and spending less overall, you can, you know, choose this as an opportunity to splurge a little bit and, you know, try California Grill so that you can watch the fireworks from the observation deck, even though you didn't have a park ticket for Magic Kingdom for that night.
So a short trip would be the optimal time to try the experiment from the $25 a day podcast, where it's Dole Whips for every meal, and then just eating from the Fixins bar. Because that
is that the $25 a day or the $10 a day version?
I think that was the $25. It was a Dole Whip for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, and for a snack, and then they were going to just get something and fill it up at the Fixins bar.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not allowed. I think that would kill my diabetic wife.
Well, that's why you can only do it for one day. So it's good for a short trip.
I don't think she could do it for a half a day. You know, the one thing that I do get concerned about with the value resorts, or actually it's not even just the value resorts. Some of the deluxe resorts only have one bus stop. And if you go commando in the park the whole day from rope drop to closing, and you have to carry an 8-year-old boy back to the room from that one bus stop, and you just happen to luck out with the room that's furthest from that bus stop.
You don't want to be in a treehouse villa at that point.
No, but it's funny you say that, because you don't want to be in the treehouse villa, but Saratoga Springs, the proper resort, isn't that bad because they have all those extra bus stops.
Yeah. Trying to think of what would be the worst bus stop for that. Where you're walking the farthest? Is that maybe All-Star or Pop that you're going to be the farthest?
Well, or
Kidani Village.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about the far end of Kidani Village or the far end of Jumbo House? You know, if you're in one of those rooms that's at the opposite end of the U from where the bus stop is.
Ooh.
That's a heck of a trek.
Yeah. They'll find you in the lobby. What are you doing here, sir? Sleeping.
Just camp out.
I needed a nap before I could get the rest of the way to my room.
It's like a 5K just to get to the room. We were only two rooms away from being at the very end of Kidani. It felt horrible.
I wonder if you can get the porter to carry him home.
You can always ask for a luggage cart.
Yeah, sit on the little luggage cart and have him deliver you to your room. I wonder what the appropriate...
It would be worth tipping him, but...
Yeah, I wonder what the appropriate tip for that is. How much do you tip per person?
I think it's by the pound at that point. Oh. No, but seriously, that's one of the concerns that I would have. You know, but again, that I think that honestly that goes right back to knowing your team. You got to know your strengths and weaknesses, especially if you're going with people that, and I've done this, going with people that feel that they have to do everything, you know, but I want to watch that parade. Okay, watch the parade.
Hey, the new parade's supposed to be good. I'm actually looking forward to it, so.
Yeah, me too. And it launches, you know, as we're recording, later this week, or within a week.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it next week, or the week after, whenever I'm there.
Well, with an 8-hour drive, I could probably shorten that to about 6 hours.
It depends. That depends on how well you know that Georgia State Trooper.
It's actually a 10-hour drive, and I try and shorten it to 9.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, any closing thoughts here on short trips?
I would say don't be intimidated by them. There's value to them, and ultimately it could lead to you discovering something that you didn't take the time to do because you weren't focused enough on that particular park for that day or that particular activity.
Okay. Yeah, good point. David, any last thoughts?
Just to kind of echo what Al said, I would just say have fun with them. Not every trip to Disney has to be or 6 days. In 2 days, you can see some pretty amazing things and enjoy the time that you have there.
All right. And Ryan, any closing thoughts?
Well, I'm not nearly as profound as Al and David. I'll just say it's Disney, whether you're going for a day or 10 days, you're going to have a good time. So just go. Doesn't matter the length of the trip. Just plan for it and you'll have fun.
And I'm going to piggyback on Ryan's last comment and just say that ultimately there's not a whole lot of difference between a short trip and a longer trip. It's just a matter of how you plan it out. And taking the time to plan it out makes all the difference either way. So you've heard what we have to say about short trips to Walt Disney World. We'd love to hear from you and hear about your suggestions and tips. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at Dizdads Podcast on Twitter, participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com, and now you can even visit us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Al Jardine.
Good night.
Ryan Treichler.
Good night, everybody.
And David Nicely.
See you, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
Say hello, Al.
Hi, Al. Hi, Al.
Would it have been more appropriate if I had said goodnight, Gracie?
That would have worked too, but...
So I think I'm going to write a business plan for Kingdom Strollers to see if they can start operating an unlicensed taxi service inside Kidani Village.